Yes, sir.
I'm ready if you're ready.
The tide started, buddy.
Oh, well, I'm ready now. And welcome to episode 120. I'm looking at the thing, 127 of the Talking Hockey right. Podcast. I got it right.
Last week was also 127, we said, but I got it wrong. Last week I was wrong, so my bad.
Someone's always wrong. It's an episode, okay? Who's keeping track at this point? Not us. Not the people who have our contract either, who contract us out. You know, they don't know
Nobody's
how many episodes.
Attention.
No one's paying attention to us.
Nobody knows.
Except for you lovely listeners. And we thank you for listening.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Talking Hockey Podcast. It's your favorite. Producer Luke here to remind you to follow and subscribe on whatever streaming service you use. Leave a review on Apple, visit our website, talkinghockeypodcast.com, and follow us on Instagram at Talking Hockey for daily content. Now, let's get into today's episode with your favorite group of guys, Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin.
Today, we are going to do our wide range of topics. Nothing really noteworthy happened this past week, but you know, there are still some surprises in the NHL now that we're about over a month, 6 weeks into the season. We're gonna talk some hockey. So the first topic, I don't know, I'm just gonna wing it here. First topic we're gonna talk about is what is going on. I think we discussed it so many weeks before, but Vancouver, and it seems inevitable that Bruce Boudreau is gonna get fired. But they're still playing games. He's still scratching Andre Kuzmenko, who just scored a hat trick two games before.
Scratching
and
their best
scratch.
Young players. Yes. Like
Hoglander. It just seems like a mess.
I don't know what's going on, because like Boudreau's never had this before.
He's being like a boomer
Since
coach
I've,
right now. Yeah.
Last 15 years, has there ever been anything like this with Bruce Boudreau?
He's done weird stuff in the playoffs for sure. There's this one time in the playoffs where he was like playing random ass goalies. He played like three goalies and he called up John Gibson with like no prior NHL experience for a playoff run, and he flamed out. And he's never not had regular season success.
Yep.
Right. He kept Minnesota afloat when they were just. What's going on with this team, right? The middling team. He kept them afloat and he had really good underlying numbers, right? With not a great team. And I think this is the first time he's really struggled in the regular season and had real adversity in the regular season.
Yeah, it's bizarre because he showed up in Vancouver and they were
great.
Like improved massively.
They were at like 100, over 100-point pace while he was coaching there, but they just...
Yep.
Got him there too late. And you would think that and you see it a lot of times with midseason coaching changes, when a team gets a full training camp and a full off season with a coach, you know, generally they have really good results at first.
Yeah.
But that's the opposite here. Like this team has just fallen apart. I think if you listen to our preseason predictions, we all thought that Vancouver could be a playoff team. And
what's the change? Like what about their team? Did
they
lose
started,
people?
They just couldn't finish games at first, right? Like they blew so many multi-goal leads in the beginning of the year.
So have they lost their confidence?
They just had, and I think it's just a team that isn't good. Like they have a lot of aging veterans who have not been good. JT Miller, I think we talked about it, is getting booed off the ice, right? Demko yes. has not been good at all.
I think that's a big part because Demko
was
really good last year.
Demko's a huge part of their team. Like Demko's a top 10 goalie.
Yeah, if Demko puts up a 920 like you would have, yeah, Demko puts up a 920 like you anticipated, maybe they win 3-4 more games at this point. But he's been like an 880 goaltender.
Yeah, I mean he's basically so this is how bad he's been. He's allowed 10 goals more than than above expected. In 11 games. So basically every single game so far, he's let in one goal more than he probably should have. Yeah. Which is a drastic change for him because
that's
I think...
That's not good.
Yeah, that's really bad. That's really bad. And then Spencer Martin, who's the backup goalie. I didn't even realize that, actually. He's been basically just average. He's like
Right. 0.2 goals saved
below expected, which isn't like for a backup goalie who basically nobody's heard of. That's decent in five games. But yeah, Demko's allowed 44 goals against. It hasn't been good. And then if you compare that to last year, he saved 10 goals more than expected, according to Money Puck. If you look at other sites, they have him even higher, closer to 15. So he was a big help for them last year versus this year.
Yeah, it seems. And their D is atrocious, right? Like, Luke Shen's in your top four.
Luke Shen is hitting anything that moves.
Yeah, in
that game against the Leafs, he had 11 hits.
But also, you saw that game against the Leafs. Like, I watched it from the second period onward, and they had the puck like the entire time in like the offensive zone. Yes, the Leafs do the thing where they just pass it around the perimeter and then get nothing out of it. But they were holding onto the puck, and Vancouver couldn't touch it.
Yeah.
That OEL trade, Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade, is probably going to go down as like one of the worst trades that Vancouver could have possibly made, because they basically traded away 1 year of bad contracts totaling like $15, $16, $17 million dollars for like five more years of one other really big contract. Yeah. And Garland's great. Like, I really like Garland. I'm a big Garland fan, but he doesn't fit their window. He's been scratched.
Well, it seems like Boudreau doesn't like him or something.
Yeah, he hasn't been very good this year. He was great last year. But yeah, it's like that trade is going to go down as like a really, really fucked up trade for them, because they basically just needed one more year to keep Louis Erickson, Antoine Roussel, Jay Beagle. And I think, was there one more player in that deal? I think that was those contracts totaling like $14-15 million. And now they have years left of that contract anchoring their team. And instead of, they can't, they don't even have cap space.
They gave up first round picks too.
Yeah, they gave up a first round pick. You know, I think Garland's worth basically a first round pick, give or take, if you use him and if he's playing to the way he should be playing.
Yeah.
But yeah, this trade's looking really, really bad for them. Like, and I think that was like the last thing Jim Benning did, right?
I think that they really wanted Ekman-Larsson, right? Like, I remember hearing rumors of Ekman-Larsson to Vancouver for like 2 years. Yeah. And apparently, like, he was only going to waive his no move clause to go to either Vancouver or, I think it was, Boston. And
I mean,
it's gone exactly as everyone expected.
Ekman-Larsson,
right?
Had like one of the more weird fall offs that I've ever seen from a defenseman, because he was just elite, doing really, really great, and then just fell off a cliff. And he wasn't even like 29, 30 when
but
a lot
he
of
fell off before off. They traded for him. Like,
it was known he fell off. He fell off like 2 years before they even traded for him. Like, it wasn't even like he just had a bad year, bad 1.5 years. Like, it was like 2 or 3 years of bad years. But it was bizarre for him because he was like 26 when his fell off came, or something like that, which is really unique. But that trade's gonna look really bad for them. It's like that whole trade's just like completely fucked them all up, basically.
Well, and continuously signing Myers and stuff to stupid deals. And
yep, I mean, they have $13 million tied up in Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Hamonic, and Pullman, right?
I forget who it was, but someone was linking Myers to the Sens, and I was like, no, do not.
Please,
I will quit. They do not do this. Man, that would be bad. That would be really bad.
It's just a team that fell off, they had some positives going into the year, and now it just feels totally inevitable. And you think Elliot Friedman even said it on one of his radio hits the other day, like, it's coming any day now. Are they gonna keep wasting
Elliot literally said, like, they're probably just not firing him right now because they have good publicity with the Sedins going in, Luongo going in.
Shut up.
Luongo going in.
The Hall of Fame, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Hall of Fame. So they have a lot of good publicity going, so they don't want to fire him right now. They'll probably, like, wait a week and then bye-bye Boudreaux, which is like a really weird position
the weird
for
thing
Boudreaux
is
to be in.
Yeah.
That sort like, of thing. They're kind of, someone made a joke like, are they just waiting for him to quit at this point? So they don't have to,
yeah, they don't want to pay severance to him.
Because I mean, how many coaches would they have on? They would probably have Tortorella, Travis
Green.
They still
have Tortorella?
Probably. I mean, how long ago did he get fired?
Yeah,
because
they signed
like
a multi-year deal with him. Yeah. They signed a multi-year deal
with
Travis.
There's no coach cap friendly or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still think there's something going on like way behind the scenes of Vancouver.
Vancouver's just broken.
That ties to Rachel Dory somehow.
There's
like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's got to be something because like she went to the game against the Leafs and she's like, I'm here to support the coaching staff.
Yeah. She said and, Boudreaux specifically.
Yeah. Bruce. Right. And like, and then someone said, stop like doing this for clout and she's, or stop being sarcastic. And she's like, I mean this about the coaching staff and only the coaching staff or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It seems like, I mean, I would say it's a pretty openly petty display of support, but at the same time I think there's gotta be something.
What seems interesting is I think fans are blaming the owners more than Boudreaux right now. Like I don't see fan, like I see fans complaining about like some of the moves that Ty mentioned and stuff, scratching certain players, all of that, but I think people are like more mad at the owners for just like not making
Akalini. But yeah. Again, at the end of the day, it's also like the GMs, I guess the GM by committee they had over the summer should have traded JT Miller. Should have, you know, I guess it was a lose-lose, right? You trade him away and then your fan base is pissed off because it's like, well, now I guess we're rebuilding. But how good would like, you know.
Yeah, but it'd be better than. Because right now, even if this team was playing up to their standards, they're still
they're
just a middling
team.
They're middling.
Yeah, they're still a 12
right? Like,
to 15
which isn't great for fans
team.
Yeah,
but I think that the team from the like when you're rebuilding a team, I mean, you have to have the fan support, and I think they understand at this point because they never did like a big teardown of things, right? They tried to pretend like they were good.
Yep.
Yes. Right when Benning took over,
and they got really lucky that some guys like Pettersson turned out to be like almost superstar level
but
players.
Even Pettersson hasn't been great.
I think he's been really good this year, actually. I don't think he's been at fault at all. I think he's been really solid.
I mean, Besser hasn't been great.
Yeah, Besser was supposed to be a 40-35 goal guy, and he's just
he has zero goals this year so far.
Yeah. There you go. And he's playing on the third line right now with Hoglander and Sheldon Dries, who I have no idea who the hell that is.
But that's, again, a weird Boudreaux move, I feel like.
Yeah, well, he's got Ilya Mikheyev on the second line. And
yeah, it's just weird Boudreaux.
Yeah, and that's another weird move.
But
that
if
they
Besser
did,
has zero goals, then maybe you're just like, you know, I need to do something to change something.
As Ty was just saying, signing Mikheyev to the contract they did is just such a middling move. It's just like, that's
we're
going
to continue to be middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Overpaying a bunch of players and hoping.
Because it's like, Ilya Mikheyev is not the type of player you need it where you need it, where you signed him.
Yeah.
Like, you need it another top six guy.
And they're trying to pretend like he is because I've seen their lines and he's played on the first line a couple times. And
that's what we just
playing on the second line right now.
Second line currently. Like, it's just not.
It's inevitable that they're going to fire Bruce Boudreaux. Unfortunate because he's had a very good legacy prior to this, right? But fortunately, I don't know. Didn't work out this year.
The thing with the Canucks, though, is they have an X-Factor goalie, which is like the best player to have an X-Factor in. And like if Demko was playing out of his mind and the players were at least playing average, they could be a little better than middling and actually make playoffs and do damage. But like
think the Canucks really needed Quinn Hughes to be Kale McCarr, Adam Fox level because he was there in the rookie season. Like in the rookie seasons, like plenty of people were arguing Quinn Hughes was just as good as Adam Fox and Cale Makar. And then the 2 years after, it's just been a world apart in difference, right? 2 years? Yeah. 2 years? Yeah. I want to say it was 2 years. But so I think the other thing is, like, they've been hoping for Quinn Hughes to become top two, top three.
Probably the name, I would guess, on that. I mean, what? He has 14 points in 12 games this year. Like, he's
he's putting up points, but he's not like if you look at all the different models and stuff, like, he hasn't been good defensively at all. And that's the thing, that's the difference between Adam Fox, Cale Makar level players, and Quinn Hughes. And Quinn Hughes also, I'm pretty sure most of those points are power play points.
They're also, he has no goals, they're all assists.
There you go. So, I don't really care about the goals part for a defenseman, but still.
Isn't Vancouver's penalty kill, like, the worst in the league?
Yeah, I mean, look at their players on the defense and tell me. I don't know. I don't know if it is, but, you know, you look at that defense and you're like, is that surprising? No, I don't think so.
Onto your next point.
Yeah, well, the next topic I wanted to talk about was the you guys want to talk the Evolving Wild list. So they came up with their like list. I guess it's been enough games now where they can run their model where it's like somewhat accurate to how players have basically performed so far. So guess who the top player is. And this is a guy we were hyping up in the preseason lead up. Guess who's at the top of the GAR rankings right now? Goals above expected. Above replacement, sorry. Not expected.
Jesper Bratt.
Jesper Bratt's close. That's a good guess, but no.
Carter Verhaeghe.
He's a bounce back kid. We hyped him up for a while. Jack Eichel.
Not surprising. I don't know why that thought that I didn't think of that. He has been unbelievable. He's put himself back into like the top five play. I messaged you guys this. Like,
you did.
He has been unreal.
He's back in that top 10,
top category. five conversation.
He's on my fantasy team.
Yeah. And I think that looking at it last year when he joined Vegas and came back from his injury, everyone was like, this isn't looking good. But maybe he just needed legitimate recovery period, and Vegas has been pretty much unstoppable. I think they won like 10 in a row.
And the great thing is he's been really good defensively too.
At the start of the year, hyping him up, like, it was dumb to doubt him. It was kind of stupid to doubt him. Anyone that did, like, is kind of not paying attention to what he was, how he was touted. There was literally people the year he was drafted that, I mean, it would have been a mistake, obviously, but there was people that had him ranked above McDavid.
No.
Probably American homers, but
yeah,
it's what it is. It happened.
in any other year.
He was going first.
The Matthews and McDavid year. So anywhere between 2017 and next year with Bedard, he would have been first overall.
And the Matthews year, he was probably just as hyped. Matthews would have been like back and forth.
Yeah,
it was like
nobody would have been able to tell who to draft.
Yeah, and I mean, it was like you didn't get McDavid, but you got probably the next best thing—a guy who would go first overall any year, as you just mentioned. Right.
He would have gone first in 2014, 2017, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, just not 23 because of Bedard. That's basically it.
And I mean, at this point, it's like he's like probably halfway through his career, but whatever.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say, 2023, he would go first overall. But, you know, he's finally showing. I mean, first he was on Buffalo. Yes, his rookie year was okay. But I mean, Buffalo was never a good team and you never got to see. Never heard much of Jack Eichel. He scored a couple highlight reel goals, but that was it. Buffalo was a bottom feeder team.
But for a bottom feeding team, he was always like a pretty close to a point per game guy. Like,
right, exactly. But I mean, he just had
things.
He had nothing around him.
Yes, exactly.
There was one year where they started off kind of like this year, and then fell off a cliff. I think it was like 2018 or 2019. Kind of happening this year as well, but for different reasons. But anyway, it's good to see him and Vegas doing really well. And they, I mean, Vegas took a gamble at the end of the day, right? Like they weren't getting Jack Eichel for several months.
There was a potential.
He had a major back surgery and he may not be able to be the player he was before, but he's come back better than ever. I don't think anyone's seen something like this before or seen this play from him.
But how high a potential was that? Like, we're in a different realm of medical stuff. And like, it sound like
I listened
to interviews with the surgeons and they were too confident because their ass was kind of on the line. Like,
yeah, their reputation was on the line.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
these guys were like, yeah, we're going to do this and he's going to be fine. He'll be.
They didn't need to go on record saying he's going to be fine. They didn't though. Like what if they didn't go on record, like if they didn't come out in public and say, you know what, like he's going to kill the surgery and be fine. They could have just said, I don't want to do the surgery. And then not have to deal with the backlash. They're still going to make $400,000 a year or $500,000 a year or $1 million a year, however ridiculous amounts of money that they're making. Jack Eichel isn't going to fucking change that. So you're right, Martin. Like, they were so confident in it. Like, yeah. I mean, I wasn't really worried about it. Like, there was, like, it's in the back
of your head. It was really Buffalo throwing out shade. And it's like, you guys are kind of assholes.
Buffalo's also come back a little strong from that move too. So
yeah,
there's a little bit.
Tucks looked real good. Tucks looked real good from that trade and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, obviously huge loss for them, but they have some pieces in place now because of that move that are helping them out. But to Ty's next point, to the Vegas point. Mark Stone and Shea Theodore are also in the top 10 in terms of guy right now.
And Shea Theodore has also been like unbelievably good.
Mark Stone with Jack Eichel, insane. Shea Theodore, insane.
And I mean, the concern going into the year for Vegas especially was, I guess, firstly Eichel's health and secondly the goaltending. And I mean,
well, I think also Mark Stone's health too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark Stone had tons of injuries over the last 2 years. Like, was he going to be as, you know, he's basically been a top five winger in the NHL for half a decade almost.
Man, how unforeseeable was this Chandler Stephenson guy?
I know. Well, I mean,
third round pick, played like 5 years in Washington,
did nothing,
and wasn't special. And now he's their second line center. Point per game currently, had 64 last year, like just out of nowhere.
I'm telling you, man, like there's so many players in the NHL. Whenever someone says, oh, you expand the league and you're diluting talents and all this bullshit,
you're definitely not.
No, you're not. You could add 10 more teams to the NHL and you wouldn't dilute talent because there's so many guys that if they just get the opportunity and get some confidence, they will blow up.
I don't think anyone saw it with Chandler Stephenson.
Nobody did. Nobody thought so, but there's always going to be those guys that will get the opportunity and step up. Like, you add 10 more teams in the NHL, guys will fill those roles. There'll be people that step up. Who's the kid in Buffalo who's now putting up like 30, 40 goal seasons?
Tage Thompson.
He was one of the worst players in the NHL a year ago. And now he's...
He at least was like a first round pick.
He was a first round pick who looked like
he was awful.
Yeah.
He was god awful for so long. There was like no hope for him. William Karlsson comes out of nowhere. There's all these guys that will continually and always come out of nowhere because they're given the opportunity.
There's a lot of examples.
I get that opportunity.
Each year you have like a breakout guy. Like, I mean, this year, I guess it's, Chandler Stephenson, since he came to Vegas, I think Vegas got him for like a fifth round pick from the Capitals. And on the Capitals, he was like a penalty killer, fourth line center.
Who thought Jesper Bratt would be a top 10 winger in the NHL?
You know who did? William Nylander and Michael Nylander.
It's exactly a first round pick, fifth round pick.
Jesper Bratt? Right.
No. what Chandler Stephenson was traded for.
Jesper Bratt wasn't even a fifth rounder, wasn't he? Like the bottom,
like a sixth or
sixth or seventh or something, like something ridiculous. Look that up, Martin, since you're already on it.
But
like, or actually, one more point on this. The other people in the top 20 in terms of guard, Valimaki, who got tossed away from by Calgary to Arizona.
That's a weird one.
He's in the top 20, along with Gabriel Vilardi, who we kind of talked about before, but, you know, multiple years of injuries and now got an opportunity in LA and is just fucking ran with it. Valimaki is like, that's insane.
That's a surprise.
You know what's under talking just a little bit about Calgary? So they tossed away that guy, but that's because they had so many like young guys. And I think he's still not playing. And it's not being talked about really at all. But Oliver Shillington is part of the reason they felt that they could get rid of Valimaki.
Yeah.
He's young. And I don't know if you guys know this, but he's in the program, like the NHL Players Association
program.
They
announced it. Yeah.
So that's a big loss for them back there. And it's been very understandably not talked about, but under talked about loss to their team and maybe part of the reason that they weren't doing so well.
Yeah.
Just to throw in that you mentioned.
Since you brought up Calgary, Jonathan Huberdeau hasn't been great so far. You want to pull up his numbers? Cause they are,
I think even what's the Sutter the other day was like, why is he on the third line? He's very blunt in his press conferences. So one of the media people asked, why is Huberdeau on the third line? And he's straight up like, he doesn't look good on any other line.
Because we've slotted, no, he said, because we've slotted him everywhere else and it hasn't worked.
Right, exactly.
That's as like
blunt
as you can be.
For a guy who was like, in the off, like before the season started, I mean, firstly, there was the hype. I mean, he was traded for Matthew Tkachuk and he'd signed a long-term double-digit deal.
Yep.
And people were even thinking that he was going to be named captain of the Flames.
And do they have a captain right now?
No, I don't think so. And he just hasn't been good.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think that
he's playing on the third line beside Michael Backlund and Trevor Lewis, because clearly that's what's going to work. And I get he hasn't worked anywhere else, but like the solution isn't Michael Backlund and Trevor Lewis. Trevor Lewis probably shouldn't even be in the NHL anymore.
They have a weird team for Huberdeau.
I think we said this before. Like, I didn't think it would be this bad.
I said this in the offseason.
Yeah.
Big part of Huberdeau's game has always been Florida's style of play and playing with Barkov. I'm not saying that he relied on that, because Huberdeau for sure could produce it away from Barkov, and he did last year for a good portion. But huge part of Huberdeau's success came from the style of play in Florida and playing with Barkov. And then on top of that, I also said style of play matters. And alongside Lindholm and Tkachuk and Goudreau or whatever, or whoever's, or Toffoli or whatever else, Huberdeau doesn't have the type of game, or Toffoli and Lindholm don't have the type of game that supports Huberdeau. Because Huberdeau is not a puck carrier the way Goudreau is. Huberdeau is a passer. And Toffoli and Lindholm and Kadri and basically anyone on the Flames, none of those guys are elite puck movers or puck carriers. Sorry. So he doesn't fit super well in. I didn't think he would be bad. Like, I still thought he'd be point per game or something like that, but I didn't think he'd be a 100-point guy in Calgary the way he would be in Florida.
The big thing with Huberdeau right now is he has 7 points in 12 games. Like,
yeah. Three good games and that turns around.
Yeah, exactly. Like, last year he had like multiple 5-point games, I'm pretty sure. So like, he has a 5-point game. He's at a point per game.
But that's because like Florida against like bad teams, we go like globetrotter mode on them.
Ripped off a whole bunch of points. Yes, I agree. But I still think the big thing is he's now in the West, so playing more Western teams. So they're the weaker division. They're the weaker.
He's playing in the weakest division, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he has the potential against those guys to rip off
Again, I still think fit matters so much, especially with Huberto and his type of game.
Do you think he plays on a Daryl Sutter team? Can you think of any creative, you know, passers on a Daryl Sutter
Goodrow team? Goodrow has a very similar profile to Huberto in the sense of how they played, but the biggest difference has always been Goodrow will carry the puck from end to end, whereas Huberto will make small little passes. Like you watch Huberto and Barkov, it's just tic-tac-toe, tic-tac-toe, tic-tac-toe. Flames don't have guys that do that. And Barkov, even if they weren't doing that tic-tac-toe between each other, like Barkov would just carry the puck into the offensive end and then let Huberto do his magic from there, right?
I think that a big thing, what was I going to say? I forgot what I was going to say.
He's too distracted by Matt Murray.
That I think is, a big thing, Ty, is your dick.
Wrong.
No.
Huberto, what was I going to say about him? Fuck. I don't know.
Dead space.
Moving on.
That dementia moment there. That's yikes.
Yeah. You're getting old, Ty. The other interesting players that were at the top of both actually Dom Lucian and Evolving Hockey, whatever, both released their rankings at the same time. So in both their rankings and in both of those people's rankings, Jonas Siegenthaler, who Martin was kind of shitting on his contract, and Dougie Hamilton are both in the top 10 for defensemen as well right now.
I just thought it was weird. Weird contract.
They're the best. They've arguably been the best pairing in the NHL this year so far.
Does New Jersey secretly have the best analytics team in the?
They do. I think they're leading the league in expected goals, for percentage, all that.
Do you know who they have in their analytics team? Who's this mastermind?
No, I have no idea. I mean, I don't think it was. I don't think anything they've done has been masterminded. I think they've just made decent, smart moves. John Marino was available. Grab John Marino. There was a lot of just really common sense moves that I think they made, and they've piled up over time. And we got by the way, because we were talking up New Jersey, I remember going through DMs a little while ago, and we got shit on so hard by both people listening to the podcast and replying to my stories about how New Jersey was going to be way better this year. And people saying we're homers, even though none of us are fucking New Jersey Devils fans or anything like that, which is funny. But we got shit on a lot for basically saying New Jersey is going to be good this year. And they've been great so far. Jonas Siegenthaler and Dougie Hamilton have been amazing. Jesper Bratt and Nico Hischier are both in the top 10 for forwards as well. So they have four players in the top 20 or two players in the top 10 for both defensemen and forwards right now.
Jeez. Yeah. They're definitely doing well. They definitely have a good team and a good young team.
Their goaltending's come out of nowhere as well. Vanecek has been unbelievable.
Vitek Vanecek.
Yeah. He's been, and I think Blackwood's been bad, I'm pretty sure.
But Blackwood's injured now, so now they have Akira Schmid.
Who?
Or Schmid.
Who?
In net.
Man,
net.
This guy literally is the reason Ottawa lost that one game. Vitek Vanecek got hurt within the last 2 minutes of the game, and this Schmid guy goes in and just has five massive saves in overtime. And New Jersey gets one shot and with 30 seconds left and scores. I was so fucking mad.
You want to talk Ottawa, or we've talked enough Ottawa for a lifetime?
Fire DJ. That's the only answer.
Yeah, you think?
I don't know. It just seems like they're not. They're sure they have really bad defense, but something about their game just kind of seems to break down, and they have really bad breakdowns. Yeah. And it's all defense. Their offense is clicking. Brady's doing real well. Giroux's doing well. Stützle is doing well. And they're, you can see it. They're playing well. Even when they're not scoring goals, they're passing around. they're dominating and like in the offensive end. But then they
what's DJ Smith supposed to do with freaking, I don't even remember who the fuck's on their defense right now, but like, but what is he supposed to do with that? You know?
But the
other than Shabbat, stupid mistakes.
Literally show them the video and be like, what the hell were you doing here, dude? And then they'll explain and he'll be like, no, you're wrong. Like, you don't do that again. Like, do something not stupid. Is basically what I want him to do. Like, I don't know the answer, but I don't think he's very defensive minded. It doesn't seem like DJ
kind of knows what he's doing. But isn't he known for being defensive minded? Like,
No. It was always a joke. Because when this guy was running the defense on the Leafs, that was the worst defense I've seen in my life.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Like, he ain't no, this is NBA, but he ain't no Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse is like the best defensive coach in the NBA.
How many times is Dorian going to come out and say, DJ's our coach, DJ's our coach, we have no coaching?
Well, I think they're in a tough spot too, though. With the owner change, you don't really want like dead money on the books.
Didn't they just extend him too?
Yeah, exactly. That's the issue. Like, I think he has 2 years or 3 years extension. And so you have a lot of dead money in coach right there.
It was always pretty weird that they wanted DJ Smith, because I think after that, it was what, 2019, whenever he became coach of the Sens, like, it was like they didn't even interview anyone else or consider anyone else. It was like as soon as the Leafs lost in the playoffs, the offseason began, it was like DJ Smith's going to be coach of the Sens. And then he was.
The problem with the Sens and coaching, and hopefully with new ownership this changes, is not only have they cheaped out on player contracts, they majorly cheap out on coaching and front office, but that's another story.
Front office for sure.
But they regularly have a bottom five paid coach in the league, and you see the results. Like,
coach.
But you see the results. Like, there's a reason they're bottom five paid. Like, if they were better, they'd get more money. And my buddy Nate's like, I don't think DJ is even a top 32 hockey mind, like maybe not even a top 40 hockey.
There's probably plenty better of assistant coaches that are
better
suited, let alone college,
let alone college, like guys not coaching right now, like Julian's not coaching.
There's
a whole bunch of guys just not coaching currently.
Yeah.
Like Babcock. Obviously.
But like Julian, you're not like Ottawa's never going to get, because he's like a $5 million coach and they're never going to pay a coach $5 million.
For sure. Moving on to a different topic. Cale Makar needs 2 points in his next 7 games to be the first defenseman in NHL history to record 200 plus points before he plays 200 games.
Jeez.
It's insane for a defenseman in this day and age.
Yeah.
Yep. Lower scoring era. Is he like locked in Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Ever since he came to the NHL, like he came for this one one playoff run for the Avalanche. Like, he's just been unbelievable. And I think everyone was looking at that pick. I think what went third, fourth overall in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And it was out of not a top junior league, right? He was playing in the BCHL or the AJHL.
No, wasn't it the
Alberta
AJHL? Yeah.
So not the WHL, not NCAA, not playing in Europe. He's playing in like a level below junior.
Which some people do on purpose in those leagues.
So they can go. I think he wanted to go to the NCAA.
Good. Yeah.
Right, and I think if you have CHL, if you're playing for
if
CHL,
you have team, CHL, you do that. You can automatically, which is
really
real
dumb. That's a whole other
really
thing,
dumb. Like, that's really aggressive from the CHL.
I almost understand the whole AHL thing, but
where you can't go back to the, you have to go back to the CHL instead.
Yeah, you can't
of the
play
AHL.
In the AHL if you're But NCAA is a whole other thing.
All I would say on that is, yes, Cale Makar right now would be a lock, but Erik Karlsson like 6-7 years ago was a lock too.
I think Erik Karlsson is also still, a lock.
I mean, yeah.
He's also right now ranked number one in terms of defensemen on on GAR, and he's number four on.
But there was a point there where it's like, holy crap! If Karlsson finished his career doing this, it's he's definitely not first ballot anymore. Like he was. Yeah.
Well, he got. I think he would have been automatic first ballot.
Yeah.
If he got the two Norrises, he got robbed of.
Yes. Oh, if he four, if he had four Norrises, yes.
Yeah, because I mean, he got robbed in the Drew Doughty year for sure. Like what he had, like he had the most assists in the league.
Yes, he was out of his mind. It was ridiculous.
Most assists out of like forwards and defensemen. And
he had 82 assists or something.
Drew Doughty because of his career, like basically that's the only reason Drew Doughty got it. It was just like, oh, he finally he deserves one. And then there was one other year, I think. Can't remember who it was. I can't remember if it was Subban or Duncan Keith or someone. They won it, and I was looking at it like, no, I don't think. Karlsson probably deserved that one too.
Well, even that year that in 2016, Karlsson probably deserved the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, the
playoff MVP. Didn't make it to the finals, but you know, he's pretty much a lock, I'd say, and it's the unfortunate Achilles injury he had. He was never the same coming back from it, but I think he's pretty much a lock. So are guys like Duncan Keith and Shea Weber probably, right?
Yeah,
but I think he's up there with them. And I mean, right now he's I think we mentioned it a couple weeks ago, like he's had a career resurgence right now.
22 points in 17 games.
He's leading
minutes a night.
And I mean, he's playing on San Jose doing whatever. Who cares?
10 goals.
He's going to get traded this year, probably.
They're going to try to. That's the smart thing to do.
Smart team's going to look at it and they're going to say, okay, can we handle Karlsson for the next 4 years at $11 million? Probably not a single team is able to do that. Unless
San
Jose
is going to have to eat some of that. And they'll be okay with it because they're not going to be good in the time that contract has left. Like, and
but
they have to
sell
high.
But also a smart
they
team
have
isn't
to sell high
take,
on this.
Also a smart team isn't going to take Karlsson. Like Karlsson isn't going to keep up this pace.
He's
not going to score 50 goals, you know, or 40 goals or 30 goals. Like he's going to end up with 20 probably. Maybe 25.
Absolutely.
Maybe 25 if he continues his hot streak a little longer.
But if that wins you a cup, who cares about the rest of the 4 years? And Karlsson could do that on one of these good teams.
Yeah, for sure.
But San Jose has to eat like 50%, which maybe they won't do.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be willing to. Like 50% on
four or five years?
Yeah,
it's a lot. And you can only eat a certain amount of contracts too. Like you can only have a certain amount of contracts.
I forgot about that.
Like retained. Yeah. I think it's only like two. So they might not do it.
Yeah, he's ranked fourth right now. The other interesting one on this list is Brady Shea, who's ranked number three. I don't know why he is. I'm guessing it's his defensive numbers because his point numbers are just 7 points.
I watched him before. I watched him on Carolina when the Leafs played him, and I was like, this guy's not good. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a big difference between Dom's rankings and the GAR rankings. Like, GAR doesn't even have him in the top 10, but, yeah, it's weird. Just thought it was worth pointing out. Do you guys want to talk the Werenski injury?
Well,
it screws Johnny Gaudreau.
Johnny Gaudreau was screwed to begin with, right? Yes. But
is he screwed if they end up with Bedard? Is he? Or did he make a really good investment?
Yeah, but with the odds, and he absolutely did not predict this. Like,
no.
Do not give him credit for saying there because he thought he was going to go there and they'd be good.
Yeah, he did for sure.
He went there because his buddy Gudbranson went there. I'm pretty sure there had to have been something because that's the only way Gudbranson makes sense there as well.
Yeah. Speaking of Gudbranson, he's bottom three in terms of defensemen. for their performance on Dom's list. And making
$44 million. That's per year.
For 4 years.
He's the third worst. I think the worst is Klingberg right now, actually, which is a whole other thing.
Shocker. I mean, I didn't like Klingberg. I knew he was washed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But Gudbrandsson's number three. Werenski's out. Werenski was a top 10 defenseman this year before getting injured. Like, he was really good. He was actually really good.
For the year. Line's out as well for a couple months, I think.
I think it's only 3 to 4 weeks.
He came back and
Back and then got injured again. Yeah.
Like, Line was not playing well before.
He started. He had a good start to the season.
What, the two games? And then he got hurt and then came back not well. And now he's out for a long time. It's almost deserved. Goudreau almost deserves this.
Goudreau had a funny quote, and I want to find it because I actually laughed at it. So he was basically, playing at the against the Islanders, and this past Saturday, actually. And every time he touched the puck, he was basically booed by Islanders fans. And he was just like, I was talking to my coach after the third shift, and I was like, I don't get it. I didn't talk to the Islanders once throughout the whole of free agency. It's basically like, why are they booing me? I didn't even like entertain.
Maybe that's the issue, buddy.
And then like the meme is like, have you guys seen the, I don't know if you guys have watched Mad Men, but it's like the meme where the guy says, I feel bad for you to Don. And then he's just like, I don't think about you at all. That was just what Goudreau basically said. He's like, I didn't even consider you guys. Like, why are you booing me? I found that hilarious, along with Gudbrandsson being the third worst defenseman in the NHL this year, which is exactly what you would have expected. Like, I think if any of us were to place bets, we would have guessed you'd be bottom 10. If not bottom five.
There's a lot of defensemen in the NHL. I don't know about.
I don't know. I think if I had like 100, if I could bet for the worst defenseman in the NHL, I would have put like $100 on Gudbrandsson. I don't even give a shit about the odds. I would have put, because he's on a bad team playing bad. Yeah. Like, that's the worst combination. At least if you're on a good team and you suck, you get hidden a little bit. You know, you get covered, you play with a good player, all that kind of stuff, and you can get hidden. He's just out there exposed, and Werenski's out now, so he's gonna be shown to be even worse, right? So that'll be fun. There are other little have you guys seen like this whole like Matt Tkachuk and Hank Green beef on like Twitter? Have you guys seen Do you know who Hank Green is?
I did see that. Yeah, I know.
This is a Luke topic. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a Luke topic. Yeah, we're getting Luke involved.
Get Luke involved.
First time he's speaking.
Bring Luke back.
Make two comments.
Make Luke great again.
So basically, Hank Green is a huge YouTuber. Martin, you know who he is, right?
I've heard of him.
Okay. John Green's brother, Fault in Our Stars writer. Hank Green's like his brother, and he's like a big YouTuber. Whatever, runs a bunch of stuff. I used to watch him all the time for like SciShow and Crash Course and all that stuff, because all that stuff is useful for like getting through university courses. But he basically started like just randomly. I've never seen him tweet about hockey before, and then just randomly tweeted about how he hates Matt Tkachuk, and then he started bringing up the whole Matt Tkachuk stick to Jonathan Quick's face a couple weeks ago. And then he's just been like shit talking Matt Tkachuk ever since on Twitter. And it's been really entertaining watching. And I was just like, hey, this is great. Hank Green's probably followed by more people than any NHL player. So it's funny that he's tweeting about him now.
Yeah.
How are you shit talking him though? He's doing unreal.
He is killing it in Florida right now. What's he at?
17 and 13.
Yeah,
17 points in 13. Yeah. Well, he had that whole instant of poking Quick in the eye, and that's probably where the Hank Green's.
That's where. That's what he was saying. Yeah. He was just like, "That's not hockey," which I think we all completely agree with. Like, it was fucked up, and he should have been suspended multiple games.
Yeah.
If not, like, 10 games or something like that. Like, there's way worse stuff. Less worse stuff that gets more bigger suspensions than what he did.
Yeah, like, because it's like under the radar, and again, using your stick as a weapon, which we all remember I don't like. Mm-hmm. Going after a goalie's eye, which is for any player, like that's kind of a very important tool. And let alone
trying to do
a goal.
It like looking accidentally.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do that. Yeah.
That's dirty. That's
the other thing I wanted to. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Continue.
No. Continue.
No, I'm switching topics. If you have anything else you want
to
say.
No, I'm done.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk one other thing. And then, you know, if we want to cover some other, I have other little things, but I wanted to talk about Detroit because we haven't talked about them since the offseason when they made a bunch of those moves in terms of, you know, they brought in a bunch of guys to kind of bigger contracts. I'm blanking on names right now. Rangers dude, David Perron.
It wasn't a Ranger. But
No. Kopp. There's another former Ranger.
Andrew Kopp. No, he was a former Jet.
Winnipeg, then likely, yeah. Ranger.
Then Ranger.
Andrew Kopp and David Perron were the two big
Sherrod.
Ones. Sherrod. Yeah, Sherrod was a complete disaster of a move. But
Husso they brought in.
Villar Husso, yeah. So they made a bunch of big moves this year. And Dylan Larkin has been killing it this year.
I mean.
Basically so far.
You know who's killing it even more? Kubalik
too.
Yeah. Dominic Kubalik, yeah. Because Chicago didn't want to pay him 2 years ago or last year or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is now, because Larkin's contract's up after this year. So, and he's having like his best year ever, probably. He's probably going to end up his best year ever.
As an aside,
Detroit's in an interesting position. Sorry, Ty, continue.
Someone needs to like do an analysis of players' performance in contract years. And then after signing like a long-term deal.
Oh, I always, in fantasy hockey, I always grab players that are heading to free agency and don't have contracts. Because you always get just breakout years.
Yeah.
Guess who I have? I have Larkin too.
So Martin's fantasy team's doing good this year. Good job.
It's doing okay.
I've said it several times about Detroit. I feel like I repeat myself a lot these days, but like Detroit's team has some pieces, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some prospects coming up who look legit. Like I think Lucas Raymond had his breakout. I don't think Raymond's been good this year, right? But you have Larkin.
No,
You have Seider. Yeah. You have Edvinson, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's the rest of the team is like, what are you doing there?
Yeah, it's very nice.
Seider's also not doing great.
I know, but still, like,
remember everyone was going into this year as he's a top 10 defenseman.
That's like classic
Norris. He was like one of the top 10 in terms of odds for the Norris this year.
This is
based off of a good rookie season, not an amazing rookie season.
Both those guys are classic sophomore slumps.
Yeah, very classic sophomore slumps.
Yeah, and they'll probably
another thing I never do in fantasy hockey: draft a sophomore. Never.
Especially on a bad team.
Unless he's Connor McDavid or something or Austin Matthews or something. Yeah. You don't draft a sophomore.
Especially on a bad team, though.
Yeah.
But Detroit
isn't bad this year.
Oh, they started out well. They have now have a minus goal differential. Mm. They're almost at 500 hockey.
Yeah. But they haven't been like bad. They've just been meh. They've been exactly what you would expect Detroit to be, which is meh. Yeah. You know, like that's what they basically with the moves that they made, that's what you were expecting them to be, right?
They don't make the people they sign are just like, why are you signing Ben Chiarot to a multi-year deal?
Yeah.
Do you really think that's going to fill out your roster?
Yeah. But the reason I wanted to bring up Detroit was because Dylan Larkin's deals finish this year. He's going to have to get like a massive extension. I'm talking $9 million plus. I'm going to guess for Dylan Larkin. If Kadri got, what did Kadri get? Someone remind me. 8.5.
Kadri got 7 years. Yeah.
At 8.5
was
or something like that?
No.
7.5, I feel.
Seven something.
Okay. So
7 year, $49 million.
Yeah. I think part of that is because he waited so long. If he signed earlier, he probably most likely would have got more. I think Larkin's probably set for like $9 million, especially if he continues the pace.
But Larkin's better. Larkin's a first line center.
Agreed.
Yeah, Kadri's like a known second line center.
Yeah, and he's younger too.
Yes, a lot younger.
Four years. But he's been also 29th among forwards in expected goals above replacement since the start of last season, which means he's been ahead of like Sebastian Aho, Nylander, Rantanen, Kucherov. Like, he's been better than a lot of those players over the last 2 years. I mean, he should be getting 9 million plus. And if Detroit locks Larkin in and it's 9 million plus, if you look at their cap friendly, like, their whole cap situation is fucked now.
Basically. Yeah. Iserman, yeah, I'm not.
The Iser plan.
This is a weird.
It's so like, opposite of what he did with Tampa.
Yeah, it's like GM's doing.
It was like, I know we're bad. We continue to be bad until we have the pieces, and then we're good. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I have it somewhere here. Yeah. So 2008, grabbed Stamkos, Hedman, and then 2011 got, you know.
A lot of his deals are very short. Like, that, the real bad one is Kopp. Like, he's
Sherratt. Not played.
Sherratt too. Yeah, that was a stupid one. But the real bad one's Kopp. It's long and it's not looking good. Like, Kopp's not. And it was.
Well, Kopp's always been a role player. Yeah, it was really
kind
weird.
Kind of foreseeable that he wouldn't be great. Perron is only 2 years at 4.7.
Yeah, so that's like, not that bad. And he puts terrible. Up like a good
and
amount.
And you can trade him next year if you're still not even in a good spot. And then that's 4 million off your books right there. They got their defense is pretty much all 1 year. Like, they're in a okay spot. The Sherratt and the Kopp ones are the real dumb ones, and they were completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Realistically. Like, they didn't need those players this year.
Yeah. And they just started getting rid of the guys that they
didn't need. Yeah.
That exactly. Fucking, what's his name? Edmonton GM. Blanking.
Shirelli?
No.
The current GM.
Current one? Ken Holland.
God. Blanking on everything today. This is brutal. Ken Holland signed a bunch of those shitty ass contracts that are finally starting to expire. And then, I don't know. It's just weird what Iserman's doing right now. Like, it doesn't seem like he's putting them on a path to success. With Tampa, it was very clearly defined. Like, they drafted really well. They bottomed out. They knew they weren't good, and they continued to be bad up until they got the pieces that they needed to be good again. He made the smart trades, you know, great development system from within, and it just seems like, Detroit's drafted well, but other than that,
Detroit could still and probably will work out pretty well. The other thing that went really well with Tampa, and it's the biggest X factor always, is they got Vasilevsky.
They got Vasilevsky and they had Stamkos and Hedman.
And that's
back to back drafts.
Game changing with a goal, the best goalie in the league at his time. Like, it's
in 2014
and completely unpredictable. What, they drafted him in the third round? Like,
no, they drafted him first round, but at the end, like 20 something.
But how many first round goalie picks don't do anything? Like, don't even make the NHL.
Yeah, agreed.
It's just like a complete crapshoot with goalies, really. And
Tampa did bottom out for a while. Like, within like 5-6 years, they drafted Stamkos, Hedman, Drouin, who they traded for Sergachev later on. Like, he grabbed a lot
of
which was
of a huge move. Like, you played Bergevin on that one. Like, that's a huge game-changing
move. He got completely ripped off, for sure.
Which Iserman could still foreseeably do. Like, he could make a move.
But he hasn't made any of those moves yet.
No.
And it's still early,
but it's
so
still
I get it.
Not time yet to do that.
I mean, I think it is. Like, it's always the time to trade a player that's, you know, for, you know, what you really need. But I think the biggest issue has just been, like, I don't see, like, the value contract, like, the cap planning that I saw with Tampa.
I mean, Kubalik.
Tampa's Kubalika's a lot better.
Is a huge hit.
Yeah, and that's a big trade deadline piece for them too, because he's only on a 1 year deal, isn't he?
It's two, but okay, at 2.5. 2.5. Like that's he's over a point per game. Like obviously I mean, don't think he'll stay like that. Coming.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll stay like that, but like that's a huge, and people would trade for him this year, and they probably do what they did with Heigl last year and trade more for him.
Yeah. Because
you have him 2 years at for an additional year at 2.5.
That's true. If he continues it, they can trade him. You can trade that next year, the deal too, and get like
a Geiser plan is still in place.
I don't know.
He did some questionable shit.
I just think like they needed to bottom out this year and get like one of those top three, top four guys.
It still could happen.
It still could happen. Yeah. But I think the moves you made were antithetical to that. Like,
yes, they were.
Which is the weird thing. Like, I think they needed one more year, get another top three, top four pick, and then they could make these exact moves that they made.
Which you might have got ownership pressure. Like, you don't know what's happening, right? Like, you don't know if the – because the guy in Detroit's been – I assume it's the same owner that was there when they went to the playoffs for 20 years in a row.
Yeah.
And now he hasn't been to the playoffs since they weren't there. And he's like, probably wants some results at this point.
And Detroit isn't exactly a buzzing team.
Yeah. Yeah. That's another issue. The
Detroit as a city.
It's not a buzzing city.
Yeah.
No. Plus, all their sports teams suck. Like, the Tigers, not great. The Lions perpetually suck.
Pistons, there's a little bit more pressure there.
The Pistons, not great. And Detroit Red Wings haven't been great since the 20-year skid. So, yeah.
Anyway, it's time to go, everybody.
That's all I had. Yeah. Martin was buzzing today. Martin seemed very passionate today. I don't know.
He did.
Didn't he?
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into this week's episode. We love and appreciate each listener that sticks around to the end. With that comes reminders to leave a review, press follow on those streaming platforms, and make sure to head over to Instagram to follow Talking Hockey. We're on the road to 30K, and we can't wait to continue to build our audience. Luke, Eric, Ty, and Martin signing off. We'll see you all next week.